ridiculous. Huh?
Yeah.
Mois Bnei Yisrael, Haboyim Mitzrayim, Isaac Kod Ishu Vesei Bo, that the Bnei Yisrael came down to Mitzrayim. Rashi brings down, why does the Pasuk refer to them again and mentions all the names of the Shvatim you already know? And Rashi says, to teach you that they are compared to stars, Shanim Shlu L'Kechavim, that just like the stars, even though there are millions and millions of stars, Hashem has a name for each one. So also, every Jew is there in the eyes of Hashem, and therefore every Jew is mentioned again with his name. There's a tremendous Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says, I think I mentioned it, the son of Tamidim. Baal Shem Tov says, what's the concept of a star? A star from down here, it looks very small when you look up. But in truth, it's because you're millions and millions of miles away. However, if you are close to the star is tremendously huge and tremendously big. So says the Baal Shem Tov. Every Jew down here looks like a little star, like he's a nothing. But La'asad Lavoi, you will see what a tremendous star every Jew is. Every Jew is going to shine. Now the Pasuk says, Ve'elish Mois B'nei Yisrael. These are the names of B'nei Yisrael. It's a very interesting Balaturim. We're going to read what the Balaturim says inside. Actually, he says, this Pasuk, the words, Ve'elish Mois B'nei Yisrael, they are actually referring to a halacha that one has to do on every Erev Shabbos, around Shabbos. Which halacha is that? The mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. That there's a mitzvah of going over the Parsha twice, the Chumash and the Targum, or some say Rashi, instead of the Targum, to go over every Pasuk. How is this alluded? Yes. What's the point of doing the mikra twice? The Torah was given over twice. This is the Maral says. The Torah was given over twice, meaning it was given over once in Har Sinai. It was again given over in Arvas Moav. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu, when they went over the Yarden, he translated into 70 languages. So therefore, one more time, you do it in Onkelos. That's Kaneged the third time. The deeper meaning of the Maharal, you'll have a shot, you'll let us know next week. Okay. Anyway, Ve'elish Mois B'nei Yisrael, what is the words? What are the words Ve'elish Mois stands for? So the word Ve'ela is spelled Vav, Aleph, Lamed, He. Says the Balaturim, the Rosh HaTevis of Ve'ela is the Adam Asher Lomeid HaSeder. A person who learns the Parsha. The Adam Asher Lomeid HaSeder. Shmois, meaning Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. That's Shmois, Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum. B'nei is B'koyol Na'im Yashir. When he reads the Targum, he should sing the Targum pleasantly with the trup. You know, B'nei Shema is B'nei Yisrael. He should sing it nicely. And the last word is Yisrael. Yisrael stands for Yichya Shanim Rabbis. In the S'chus that you say, Shnayim Nikra Ve'echa Targum, you'll live very long, Arukim, and long days, La'olam, and always. I don't know what the word La'olam exactly means, because a person doesn't live forever. But it seems, and again, this is leaving food for thought. When I say I'm leaving food for thought, not that I did think about it. I also didn't think about it. And I'm telling you, you should think about it. What does he mean when he says he will live many years forever? Nobody lives forever. So what does it mean, many years forever? The only thought I could think of in the S'chus of Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum, your neshama will live forever, many years. And that's maybe the remez of Shmais, of your name, because your name is the root of your neshama. But again, this is something everybody should think about.
Anyway, your neshama is going to live forever?
Aha.
Regardless of it.
Right. But you could live and you could live. You hear what I'm saying? And if you don't, I'll explain.
No, I have.
Okay? You know, you could live 70 years and you could have a terrible life. You know, and you live. Okay? And then you could really live, you know? So you could really live. If you say Shnayim Mikra Ve'echa Targum, you'll really live forever. Won't you just live? You know, you just won't get by it. Okay. Anyway, we'll go a little further. There's a tremendous medrash over here. And the medrash says that the names Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, they all symbolize the Galus and the Geula. Why? Reuven is symbolizing the Geula of Ra'a Hashem Ba'ani Yisrael. Hashem sees the tzaras of Am Yisrael. Shimon is Vayish Malikim Es Nachasam. Hashem heard their cries. Levi, I'm not going to go through all of them, but the Medrash brings down a pasuk that V'lovu Eilecha, that Hashem will melave you. And Yehuda, Oidcha Hashem, Hashem, I thank you ki anafta bi, because you got angry at me and I went through the galus. Every one of the Shvatim, the Medrash Darshan's, the name is symbolic to the Gula. Not only is every name symbolic to the Gula, how many Jews went out of Egypt? Men above 20? 600,000. Does anybody know how many were killed by the Chayte Ega? 3,000. By Yipol, 3,000 were killed out. So if you take 600,000 minus 3, how much are you left with?
597.
Okay, now we're going to see that each Rosh HaTevis, each first letter of the 12 Shvatim, excluding Levi, because Levi wasn't among the 20 that were counted, excluding Shevet Levi, will come up to a grand total of 597. Let's begin. Reuven. Reuven is a Resh. How much is Resh in Gematria? 200. Then we come Shimon. What's Shimon? 300. So that's Shim. Right up to 500. Let's go to Naphtali. We're going to make it easier. Naphtali, that's Nun. How much is Nun? 50. So we're up to 550. Then we have Yehuda. What's Yud? And it's 560. Then we have Yisachar, which is again Yud. How much do we have?
570.
Then we have Yosef. How much do we have now? 580, right? That is 580, right? Okay. Asher is Aleph, is 581. Gad is Gimel, is 584. Dan is 4, is 588. Beis is Binyamin, is 590. And what's the last Shevet we missed out? Which is Zion, which is 7, it's 597. So we have in the Rosh HaTevis of the Shvatim, we already have the 600 minus the 3,000 that are going to be killed by the Chet Egel who went out of Egypt. Okay, we're going to go further.
Brings it down?
The Medrash and Rabbeinu Bechai. Okay? We'll go a little further over here. Now, there's a tremendous drasha I heard maybe 35 years ago, maybe a little less. And I can't recall who it was. Either it was Rabbi Matisyahu Solomon or Rabbi Shmuel Bishon or somebody else, Rabbi Keller from Chicago. I don't remember who it was. But I'm going to tell you a Gemara. But first, we're going to discuss a little bit about abortions. Okay? What is so bad about having an abortion? So if we're talking about the kid is going to be healthy, so that, you know, is self-understood. Killing a child, whether he's born or not born, is just as bad. Okay, I'm not going into the halachic consequences, what's considered murder or not. But as far as the idea, the concept of taking away a life that could live and be productive, there's no difference between an embryo that was already born or it's still an embryo. Question is, and this was a question that was asked, I'm not saying halach l'maisa, we're just discussing. Okay. By the way, whenever I give a shiur, I think Virginia knows for the last 15 years, right? We never say halach l'maisa, we just discuss. Okay. If somebody knows he's going to have a child, chas v'shalom, not anybody among us, who's going to have Down's or whatever, any disease, and the child will anyway, let's say, die in 2-3 years, is it worth to have an abortion in order that to go through the suffering for the next 2 years, the suffering of the family, the suffering of the child, or no, the child should be born. So what I heard was, I'm going to read to you a Gemara, maybe I'm not going to read the Hebrew, I'm just going to read the English, but I'm just going to look at the Gemara so I can remember every detail. The Gemara says the following. Later on it says, Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, that a man went from Beis Levi, Amram, and he married Yocheved. Okay? The Gemara discusses in Saita Yudbeis Amad Aleph, the Gemara says over there that Parai was Geyser, Parai made a decree that they have to kill all the male children. Amram was the Gadol Hadar, and Amram decided he's going to divorce his wife. He said, we're wasting our time, because any child that will give birth will be thrown into the Nile, will be killed, so what? Why should we have children? And such a tzaddik like Amram was, he didn't stay married for fun. If you're not going to have children, there's no reason to stay married, and he divorced his wife. Miriam, who was already born, and she was a Nevi'ah, and by the way, the reason why she was called Miriam, this comes from the word mar, bitter, because when she was born, that's when the Golus actually started. The strong part of the Golus started when she was born. That's why it was Miriam. That was the reason why Miriam. Aaron, I can't recall offhand. You know why Aaron was called Aaron? I don't recall offhand. I think because of Arbite, I don't remember. Anyway, Miriam was born already, and Miriam said to her father, and this is the important point, Miriam said to her father, you're worse than Parai. Why? Parai only made a decree against the males, And by you telling to divorce Yocheved, her mother, you're making a decree against not only the males, but also against the females. Paroi was only Geizer and Olam Hazeh, because once a child is born and he dies, but he's going to have Olam Haba. But by you not living with Yocheved, not staying married with Yocheved, and not having more children, so those children who are supposed to be born will not even have Olam Haba. You're killing them in this world and the next world. Paroi is a Rasha, so maybe his decree will be kept, maybe his decree won't be kept. Mashenkin, you are a tzaddik, Amram is a tzaddik, so whatever tzaddik is geyser, whatever tzaddik decrees happens. And since you divorced your wife, which was Yocheved, all of Am Yisrael followed suit and you all divorced their wives, and for sure there'll be no Am Yisrael. So because of Miriam's prodding, Amram, Vayelech Amram, Amram went and he remarried Yocheved, and the Gemara says, and this happened to Yocheved, she became young, and that's what it says, Aaron and Miriam were already born, Aaron and Miriam were dancing around the chuppah of the newlyweds' parents again, Yocheved and Amram, and the Gemara says over here, Malochi Ashoris was singing out, Eim Habonim Smecha Halaluka, the mother of these children were very happy. So this was a chuppah where the mother was with the children. Says the Marsha, the continuation of Eim Habonim Smecha Halaluka is B'Seis Yisrael Mitzrayim. That right after this reunion came, this caused Moshe Rabbeinu to be born, B'Seis Yisrael Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Ma'amloyes. And then we say, Hoysa Yehuda L'Kadshay. And Yehuda was for its holiness, Yisrael Mam Shalaisa. Why am I bringing down Hoysa Yehuda? Hoysa Yehuda L'Kadshay. If I'm not mistaken, I heard this from Rabbi Lif once. He said it over from the Chidah. Why do we say Hoysa Yehuda L'Kadshay? It should say Hoya Yehuda L'Kadshay. Hoya is the male tense. Hoya Yehuda was like the epitome of Am Yisrael. Why does it say Hoysa Yehuda L'Kadshay? That she was, in the female sense. And Rabbi Lif, I think he quoted from the Chidah says, because b'schus noshim tzidkanias, in the schus of the tzidkanias, the ladies that were tzidkanias, like Miriam and others, that's why he was zeich to go out of Egypt. So it's Haisa Yehuda Lekashe, it's in the female sense. She married Kaleb Ben Yefuna, right. That's the Haisa, that's why it says in the female tense. Anyway, getting back to what we were discussing about abortions, and getting back to the Gemara, so I forgot again which Gadol I heard it from among the three that I mentioned. Is it says over here that Parav is only Geizer and Olam Hazeh. You, if you're not going to have children, you're Geizer and Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. That means even if a kid, no matter how sick he is, if he's born in this world, no matter how bad the Olam Hazeh could be for the family or even for the child, it at least will be Zeichet to Olam Haba. And when a person makes an abortion, he's not giving that fetus a child of ever reaching Olam Haba. And if we're speaking in such dimensions, then it's clear that it's bad to make abortions. Okay, I'm not even going making abortions for bad reasons. I'm saying even if there's maybe a tzad to make an abortion. And the only time that abortion could be really permitted is only if it's a question of endangering the mother's life. So that's a very different discussion. Okay, anyway, there's an interesting Noid of Yehuda over here, maybe a different time, but let's go to Baal Vayter. So Paroi said to the Mialdos, to the midwives, anybody that's born, if it's a male, you kill, and if it's a female, then you could let live. So the Pasuk says over here, about Terena HaMialdos, Es Elokim, they had fear from Hashem, V'lei Osu Kasher Dibre Aleim Melech Mitzrayim, it's the Pasuk, and Pasuk Yuzayim, like the Fresheni, and they did not do what the Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, said, but Chayena Sayalodim, and they even gave a life to the children. So the Pasuk later on says, Vayi ki yiru hamayaldas eselekim, and Pasuk Chafalev, when the nurses, the midwives, had fear from Hashem, Vayas lahem batim, and he made for them houses. Hashem made for them houses. Rashi really says, what does it mean Hashem made for them houses? In the schus and the merit that they had Yerushalayim, so there was zeichah that Kohanim would come out of them, Melachim, kings would come out of them. That's the Batei Melucha, Batei Kohuna. However, this Kedushas Levi. And the Kedushas Levi says a very, very interesting thought. Very, very gewaldic thought. He says, when a person works on his Yerushalayim, Hashem gives him a house of Yerushalayim. What does that mean? That means Hashem gives him an atmosphere that is conducive for his Yerush Shamayim. When a person really wants to be a Yerush Shamayim, he wants to really have fear of Hashem, so Hashem puts him in a situation where all around him is a house of Yerush Shamayim. I remember somebody told me a story where two people went to a hotel. Maybe it's a story I shouldn't say, but I'm saying it, okay? Now it makes it more interesting. Two people went to a hotel, okay? Both were from, both were very from. One wore a hat. I'm not selling propaganda, I'm just telling the story. One wore a hat and had a beard, and one had a small kippah or a cap and was shaven. Both were very from, okay? They went to the hotel, and the next day they both met. One said, "Let's get out of this hotel." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Everywhere I was walking, they were approaching me. They wanted to dishonor with him, wherever he was walking." And the guy with the beard and the hat said, "I didn't feel anything." What's the answer? The answer, the guy who had the beard and the hat, they took a look at him. They said, "He's not for us." You know? And the other guy was clean-shaven. You know, he looked like a regular guy, quote, a regular guy. So we started up with him. Okay? So that's the thing. When a person makes himself an atmosphere of Yerush Shamayim, then even Goyim don't start up with him, or Aveiros don't even start up with him. Hashem, Vayaslehem Batim, Hashem makes a house for him. So I the story of the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov went from out of the mikvah. And every Jew is that way, but of course the Baal Shem Tov, you can imagine, Baal Shem Tov after he went out of the mikvah, whatever he did in the mikvah, I don't know. But I could just tell you, there's a sefer on the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov sayings, the Baal Shem Tov himself never wrote anything down. Everything they wrote down, everything that's written in his name, is from Talmidim. He didn't write anything down. That's Hasidim, that's Talmidim. He didn't write anything down. But one thing is, there's a whole section, maybe 30 pages, of a kavanis that a person is supposed to have in the mikveh, given over from the Baal Shem Tov. Okay? So you can imagine the kavanis Baal Shem Tov had when he went to the mikveh. Anyway, when he came out of the mikveh, he was walking down the street, and a couple of Goyim were walking past him. And he was so scared that they're going to touch him. He was so scared. You know, after all what he went through in the mikvah, he was so scared. And all of a sudden, he hears one guy say to the other guy, "Let's cross the street so we don't touch this contaminated Jew." And they cross the street. So, what's the shot? That's the Vayasla and Batim. When a person works in his Yerush Shamayim, so Hashem already makes for him a house, makes for him a place, where he makes for him an atmosphere, but his atmosphere is kosher. If a person doesn't work on his Yerush Shamayim, so then all the nechashim makravim, all the snakes and scorpions fall to him. He gets, you know, they all get drawn to him. Okay, later on, they find the, he gives birth to Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu is put into a little teva, and it says in Pasuk over there that the Bas Paroi found him, and the Bas Paroi tries to give her to nurse to other ladies, the Egyptians, and she doesn't find him. Nobody wants, he doesn't want to be nursed. Doesn't want to nurse from any of the Egyptians. Why not? So Rashi says, I think it's Rashi, if not it's Rashi, it's a Medrash. Yes. Yeah, Rashi says, it's a Medrash. And the first time I heard this, maybe I saw the Rashi, but the first time I heard this was said very blatant, very strong. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to speak with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? He was going to speak with the Kodesh Baruch Hu one day. So the Medrash says, plain pshat in the Medrash is, the Medrash says, Pesha asa de daber mashchina, the mouth that's going to end up speaking with the Shechina, should that mouth nurse from a gavur tamei, from an Egyptian? Okay, so that's what the Medrash says, because eventually Moshe's mouth will be the one speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem did not want that Moshe Rabbeinu should drink from the Egyptian's milk. When I heard very, very simple. It's chalav akum. Don't drink chalav akum. The mouth is going to speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the dream. What? She's not married. She doesn't have milk. It's not Egyptian. Okay. Now the question is, what happened? So Shifra. Who's Shifra again? Shifra is Pua. That's his, no, that's Shifra. Miriam was standing nearby. Miriam said, "You want me to call for you a Jewish lady, okay? Because obviously the Egyptians weren't. He wasn't nursing. You want me to call for you a Jewish lady?" So she said, "Yeah." So she went and she called her mother. Okay, that's the Medrash says. She went and she called her mother, And the Medrash says, I think Rashi again brings it down over here, very, very nice Medrash, that the Medrash says, Le'dayim the tzaddikim, it's not enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns to the tzaddikim their lost objects. What happened? Yocheved lost her son, Moshe. She gave up Moshe. And the end was, she got it back, because the Basra said, maybe you can nurse this child for me. And not only she got her child back, she even got paid for it. So not only does Hashem pay back a tzaddik's lost object, he even gets money in return for it also. You know, so you, something breaks, you go to the company, not only do they give you a new piece, but they also give you a refund. You know, so that's a tzaddik. A tzaddik, he even gets back even more than when he lost. So the question is, when Miriam said, you want me to find for you a Jewish lady, why did Bas Parai figure that if it wouldn't be the mother, obviously Bas Parai did not know that Moshe, that Miriam was going to bring back Moshe Rabbeinu's mother. Maybe a different lady. Why would a different lady be better of a choice? Even if she's Jewish, if it's a stranger, why would it be better than nursing from an Egyptian? How would the baby, how would Bas Parai figure that a Jewish lady, she would nurse her more than from a Goyish lady? So there's an interesting story of the Rabbitshover. The Rabbitshover was a tremendous genius. Okay, he once was going on a train ride, and on the way, it was a two-hour train ride. He said, I finished half shas on the way here, and I'll finish the other half on the way back. And when he was a kid, he was asked, is it true you know whole of shas? He says, I only know half. So he says, you only know half? Which half do you know? He says, any half you ask me.
How are you able to learn shas in 4 hours?
What?
How is it possible to learn shas in 4 hours?
He's a genius. He was a genius. He's a genius. You don't know what that means.
You don't even know what that means.
You know? Anyway, he was a tremendous, tremendous genius. Anyway, a lady came to him with a problem. He was a rav in Rabbitshov, and a lady came to him with a problem. She says, I have no problem nursing my child during the week. Whenever it comes Shabbos, the baby doesn't want to nurse. So the Rabbitshover was a genius, and the Rabbitshover said, why don't you wear your weekday clothing on Shabbos? Sounds okay. So she put on her weekday clothing on Shabbos, and sure enough, the kid nursed. So she came back to the Rebbe. Rebbe, you're a Baal Moifus, you're a miracle worker. He says, no, it's a Taisus in Baba Kama. What's going on? So I'll tell you the Taisus. Taisus brings down a Rishami. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says that an ox which gores one time is called a tam, and you only pay a half. Are you familiar with that halacha? Mm-hmm. Okay. So if an ox gores three times, he's called a muad. He's called a, how do you say a muad in our scroll language?
Constant gore.
Yes, right? He's a muad. He is prone. He's prone to goring, and you got to pay the full amount. Says the Gemara that if he is prone to gore every day of the week, but Shabbos he doesn't gore, and all of a sudden, if he gores every Shabbos, and during the week he doesn't gore, okay, just on Shabbos he gores, so on Shabbos, if he gores, he got to pay a full amount. If he gores during the weekdays, we consider it like haphazard, he only has to pay half. Why is that so? Says the Yerushalmi, because the ox really is very benevolent, he likes people, it's calm with them, but something on Shabbos, everybody gets dressed up in the Shabbos clothing, all of a sudden he doesn't recognize the whole city, because everybody's dressed in Shabbos clothing, and he goes berserk, he gets nervous, and that's why he gores. So therefore, just because you see he's goring on Shabbos, doesn't mean that he's a gorer, it means Shabbos, he goes crazy because he doesn't recognize anybody. Says the Rabbitshover, it seems that the baby doesn't recognize the mother on Shabbos because she gets dressed up on her Shabbos clothing. So he doesn't want to nurse. So therefore, I told the mother to put on weekday clothing so the kid will recognize the mother, and now the kid will nurse. This could be the same shot over here. We know that the Egyptians were not dressed properly. Bnei Yisrael were dressed in different clothing. And also the Mitzrayim were black. They were Shvarsas, okay? And the Ivrim were white. So, you know, go take a Jewish kid and give him a schwarz, a nursing maid. She started to cry. But once she said, I'll bring you a Jewish maid, so even if it wasn't his mother, so then figured that maybe she'll nurse. Okay, we'll give a little weiter, a couple more minutes. Yeah, this is a very interesting thing over here. I saw this Gemara, and ever since then, I was a teenager. I used to always get into fights. I mean, fights. I wouldn't fight. I mean, maybe not like that night, you know. But I would play around. I would play around for fun, not really fight, for fun. And then I saw a Gemara. And I'll tell you the Gemara. The Gemara says over here, "Vahi vayomim ha'heim." And it was in those days, and Moshe got big, got old, and he went out to his brothers, and he saw two Jews fighting. Vayetzei pasuk gimel, vayetzei yom hasheni. The second day he went out, and he saw two Jews fighting. Vayomim, he said, "L'rasha to the Rasha, lama saker yecha? Why are you hitting your friend?" Says the Gemara, a person who lifts his hand up on his friend, just goes like that, without even hitting him, he's called a Rasha. Just by lifting up your hand. Vayomer l'Rasha, lama saker? Why are you hitting? You didn't hit, but you're going to hit. You just lifted your hand up, you're called a Rasha.
You mean it's a joke you're saying? You're just messing around?
A joke? What does a joke mean?
You're not really going to hit him. You're just joking around.
Yeah, but what does it mean? Because you want to threaten him and just joking around? Or you're joking around and
you're
not
really
threatening
joking
him?
Around.
Are you really joking around and you smile? No, that's not counted. But me, we're talking about you want to threaten to hit him, okay?
Right.
By raising your hand, you're called a Rasha. Ad kedei kach. Right. Once I saw that Gemara, I mean, I toned down a little bit. But anyway, that's what Gemara says. Lama sakriyecha, just lifting your hand, you're ready for the Rasha. Okay, so we go further over here. Now, the Bnei Yisrael was saved on three things. They had three schosim. Shleishinu es shmam, shleishinu es malbusham, and what does shmam malbusham mean? And it, shmam is they didn't change their names. Their name was, the Medrash says, if their name was Reuven or Shimon, they didn't call them Yambris or Memphis or something, you know? Shimon was Shimon, it wasn't something else like
Sandy
or something, Sandy. Right? Say the same names. Reuven, Shimon, and Shleishinu es Malbusham. They dressed Jewish clothing. They didn't wear Goyish clothing, okay? That, by the way, that's why the Hasidim wear what they wear, because they don't change the Levush. You know, by them, the Levush is a very important part in the culture. By the way, it's a tremendous Meshach Chachma. Try to remember it, I'll just tell it to you over. And I don't, you know what? Better I save it for a different time and I look at it again. Okay, there's this tremendous Meshach Chachma about it. He explains, I'll just tell you the Yesod, what he says, the foundation that he says is sometimes customs, Jewish customs, hold the Jewish people closer more than the actual halacha. And that's why it's very important to keep Jewish customs. One of the Jewish customs was clothing, right? It's one of the things. Kept the Jewish people as a nation. Kept them as more of a nation.
Matzah, you see the matzah?
Then what, the food?
Every girl, non-girl, cry, whether your sister's aunt is Jewish, doesn't make a difference. Right. Everyone eats matzah.
Eats matzah, yeah. That's what goes into
it. It doesn't matter what supermarket you go to, right, where in America. You see, Mamish. Oh, must be Passover's coming. Matzah's everywhere. I saw in Atlanta, I saw not everywhere I ever lived. Not from people, but halal.
Right.
Of course we eat matzah on Passover. What's the question?
Matzah is the food, that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, right, those traditions. And the third thing was Shmam, Lashayn, Mavusham, and Lashaynam. And your speech, your language, that they spoke Hebrew, they didn't speak Egyptian. They spoke Lashon Kodesh when they were in Egypt. Those are the three things that they were zeichet to go out of Egypt. Yes.
Not Bris Mila?
No. In fact, they did not keep Bris Mila. They did not keep Bris Mila. Okay? They did not keep Bris Mila. They gave it up. And the Medrash says, as soon as they gave up Bris Mila, that's when the Goyim started to hate them. Okay? There's a Gevaldige Vort from the Kotzke Rebbe. Only the Kotzke could say this. The Medrash says, as long as Jews were keeping the Bris, the Goyim did not hate the Jews. As soon as the Jews started being made for the Bris, the Medrash says, Hafach libam lisnai amoy. Hashem made that the Goyim started hating the Jews. What's the reason? As long as a Jew remains a Jew, a Goy respects a Jew. But as soon as the Jew wants to become like a Goy, even the Goy feels uncomfortable and he rejects the Jew. Says the Kotzke Rebbe. If a Jew does not make kiddush between him and a Goy, the end is the Goy will make havdalah. You hear it, you got it. The guy will make havdalah between him and the Jew. Okay. So you don't make kiddush, he'll make the havdalah. You got it?
What is kiddush?
Kiddush means if you don't sanctify yourself, If you don't make kiddush between you and a goy, you're holier than a goy, then there's the goy who will make the havdalah, he'll make the differentiation between you and him, he'll make the havdalah. Okay, so what was Amruv saying over here? What was Pasuk Avstor? Three things, yeah. These three things, and this is what we'll end with. These three things are connected to three main aveiras. First aveira is avodah zarah. When a person has a Jewish name, it keeps him, you know, Yankel, Yosef, Beryl, it keeps him away separate from going to church. With a name like Yankel, you don't walk into church. Okay? The other thing is, I don't know about today, today you change your name, you know? The other thing is malbusham, your clothing. Of course, the goyim wore priest's liquor clothing. So if you wear kosher clothing, that separates you from avodah zarah, from gilui arayos. And the other thing is the shoinim. The shoinim you find, that was by the Dor HaFlaga. They all spoke the same language, so they're all in one unit. As soon as they spoke different languages, that caused them to kill each other out. That was when they had fights. They said, bring me this, and he brought him that. And that's when the nations became into 70 nations. So the Jew as a whole, as a nation, they kept the Lashon. And this is Merumis. If you have all three things, you have the letters. Shin stands for Shmom, the names. Lamed stands for the Shina. And Mem stands for Malbushan, the clothing. You're a Shalim. You have all those three, and you're a Shalim. Okay.
First question, what we're going to try to do is every single week we will have 10 minutes of open forum. Everyone can ask the rabbi whatever they want. I'm going to ask the first question. What does Bachar do if it's an out Shabbos, and the person who normally lights candles is not going to be here, and is going to eat at someone else's house? What should he do about candle lighting?
He should light his candles.
Even though he's not going to get any Adam, because he's going to daven with them also?
How far away does he live?
Let's say it's a 15-minute walk where he plans on davening, and the meal is going to go long, and there's no chance that if he lights
the candle. He should light longer candles. He could light candles with oil, or even with long candles for 7 hours, 6 hours.
So there should always be a buffer to make
sure. Or after marriage, you should walk back here, be with the candles, 5 minutes, 3 minutes.
And everyone can make him their shliach, one person, or everyone has to do their own?
I think one person's all right. Okay, well, let's start with him.
There's going to be a group of people sleeping here, but the person who normally lights candles will not be here for Shabbat.
Right, so one person will light everybody.
You can't get long candles. I have Nathan or some of Yom Kippur to write like Yortzeit candles. They'll last forever.
3 days.
Yeah,
or oil.
Any questions?
Does Hashem make expecting us to remember everything that we learned?
No.
No? So even if you forget you learned, it's fine.
Why are you forgetting to learn?
Because you're just not
smart. If you forget because you can't remember, then you're an honest. Yeah, then you can't help it. But if you could remember, and you don't try to remember, and you don't go over what you learned, because you don't have a mind to remember, then it could be a problem.
So how far should we go?
Much as you can.
I can know something if I do 3 million times. Do I have to learn 3 million times? So I should learn one thing, the whole thing 3 million times?
Well, that's a separate question. It's not general. You want to know personally.
No, it's general. There's many people that could go, wouldn't be able to do
it. I'll tell you, I also don't do everything. And I always have a mind, one day I'll go it over. So I have a mind to go it over.
Mm-hmm. So it's clearly you'll... It's
not
you're not giving up on it.
Right, that's the word. I'm not being the Yahish, I'm not saying I'm not doing the same anymore. Yeah.
So that's fine.
It's as best as you can get.
Why do we take 3 steps? I can understand 3 steps forward before Shemon Asher. Why do we take 3 steps back before Shemon Asher?
Why do you take 3 steps forward?
To approach the thing.
Why 3 steps?
Oh, why 3? I don't know.
So why do you have a question 3 back?
What?
Why do you have a question 3 back?
I really do. 3 next. why do we take 3 steps forward?
So the plain means, I was making a point here, because I was trying to understand, is your question, why do you walk back, or why do you take 3 steps back? That's why I was trying to differentiate between the question. Why do you walk back? Because it's not Derech Eretz to put your back to the king. When you go out of the king's palace, you walk backwards. You don't want to face your back to the king. That's why you walk back.
But this is before Shemon Esrei.
Yeah, before Shemon Esrei also.
Before Shemon Esrei. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if you really have to take three steps back. What you really have to do is take three steps forward. Just usually you can't take three steps forward, so you first go back and then you go forward.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really brought down that you have to take three steps back. And the reason why I take three steps forward is that the Beis Yosef that brings down, you find the word Vayigash three times appearing in the Chumash. One place it says Vayigash Elov Yehuda, one says Vayigash Elov Avram, I think it says Vayigash Elov Yaakov by Esav. That he prepared himself for Melchama, for davening, and also to give a present. These three Vayigash are symbolic of three steps, that when you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on one hand you're praying, and second of all you're giving a present to fill it like a present, and the third thing is you're actually waging war, you're asking for something. And that's where the word carbon comes from. The word carbon also comes from the word krav, which means battle. And when you're going to daven, you're really fighting, you're fighting the battle to get the truth.
It's like three steps.
So three steps is one of those. Did you ask it?
Yeah, of course.
If you make a bracha in one spot, can you make a bracha in a different place?
It all depends what it is. By the way, as anybody asks me, I feel free for any of the rabbis to disagree with me and say their opinion. Really. Whatever I say.
If it's Hamosi.
You should really bench where you watch. Unless you have in mind, the bread and eat something else.
Something else too, if you have in mind, drink while I walk or whatever.
Drink, dance, and get a hug, yeah.
And then even the zonos too, you can have in mind while we're
out. If you have in mind that your mouth is rushing, come on.
But if you take a break, if I eat a cookie by my house, I'm
going to
come over here. Because
you didn't have in mind.
If I had in mind. I made a mezuzah over there, and I drive 5 minutes over here, and then I want
to
eat.
And you have in mind to continue over here.
Yeah.
And you bring it with you.
Yeah.
That'll be okay.
Is there a difference between mezuzahs and jackal?
Could be, yeah. I think there's a din of mahal chidrachim, and then there's your going out of the place where you are. You lose that bracha where it is. And a shahakal, you walk out of the place, you lose that bracha. But there's a concept called mahal chidrachim. If you're always traveling, you're always going, so it's...
So
mezonis
is like a...
Mezonis, no. Mezonis is, it's like bread. If you have in mind to eat it...
So it's more like a suda where it's... Right. In Mount Shep and the other place for Shahakal.
I don't know. Am I right?
I don't know.
What does the word Torah mean, and why Torah is Mekeva? Why is it Mekeva?
I don't know if Torah is Mekeva.
It's in a hay, no?
So what does it mean? That question.
Torah means teaching.
No, Moed means to what? What's the Shoresh?
Moed, to teach. Torah, to teach. Yoga, to teach. Yoga. What?
Why when it refers to Hashem does it say something like Zachor Amlo?
Say what?
If I answer you, I really won't know what I'm talking about. So I'd rather tell you now than know what I'm talking about.
What did it say?
Why does it say refer to Hashem and Zachor
Amlo?
Oh. I once asked that question to a very big Chacham.
Yeah.
And he managed almost torn my head off. He said, I can't tell you. He told me, ask me anything you want. And then I asked that question.
And he got angry.
And he managed almost tore my hand up. How could you even talk like that?
It's a really impossible. So you love Chotashi, Vatishvach Kel, Nechal Lekha. That when you don't do enough mitzvahs, you make Tish Karecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu Kinekeva. It's like you make him weak. So when it's love, it's like it's a representation of your mitzvahs.
It's a gemosa.
Yeah.
You can understand okay.
I already asked. I'm going
to
go.
Go.
Why is there no nun in Ashrei? Go through every letter.
Mark says, because nun is symbolic of the fever falling. And we don't want to mention falling.
I remember that in all the other places where it goes through nun also. In like Keladon and...
Keladon is not a Perkin Tela. It's a song.
Yes.
There it's not a direct Aleph Beis of Ashrei. It's 888. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's accepted. Which one's accepted?
Yeah, but I'm saying, if you can go that way, you can say that Resh is Russia, or there's other letters that can correspond to a negative trait.
So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to answer you just a tip, okay? A tip. Arachimot, Hoyakim Ramu, Esuchas David, Hanayfalas. You ever hear of that? Okay, what does Nefalas mean for me? The Nun symbolizes Mashiach and symbolizes Am Yisrael for me. And so I'm saying, so that you don't have it the Resh, that you have it in us.
That's good also.
What do you want to say? What did you say?
No, it's in the Gemara stuff.
How much after Shabbos ends can you keep it without it considered Al Tosef?
Al Tosef?
Like to add on to this one?
Good question.
I don't think, I want to be a little, I'm not answering your question, I'm just telling you a story. I think the Al Tosef was a bucket, was a bucket who used to keep Shabbos 2 hours before Shabbos. And he told him to stop. 2 hours
before? After.
I just remember what the story, who did I hear the story from my book?
Oh.
If it's not official, I don't, and not an official thing, because you're saying he's going beautifully.
Okay, so.
The Shabbos is b'chor over. The only question is if he says, if I'm not deal, then all of a sudden can he still say it's day, but.
You're not keeping Shabbos? If you didn't say I'm not deal, you're keeping Shabbos.
Yeah.
But you can still ask him to do the malacha for you.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, but theoretically you can. I mean, 2 hours you can.
You are not going to use the malacha to it.
Right.
But I'm just saying it's dangerous to try to take too much.
Right. Which, so when does Shabbos officially end, even if you don't say
it? Officially end, according to this man, whenever this man is, whenever 3 stars appear.
Mm-hmm. So you're waiting enough to say it.
Don't you have a question?
Yeah, I do have a question. I was wondering about why don't brachas, like, change it? Why is it not okay to add something at the end of the bracha?
What do you mean?
Like, okay, brachas are the same, like, brachas Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehachol Mi'ed Levavav.
Right.
Okay, so why can't you add at the end of something, like, when you're eating something, say, when there's a, like, kizeto, or this is, like, a food I like more, in Hebrew, or something like that, why do you have to just say the bracha?
You definitely could add what you want, but make your own prayer up, but don't change the prayer.
But does it have to be in Hebrew, too?
Does it? No, but not substitute the bracha. You say the bracha.
Like, I'm about to eat a really amazing food, and I want to add more than just the...
So first make the bracha.
Yeah.
Eat the food, and then sing the whole thing.
So why? Sing what?
Why?
Okay.
Why should you not add to the bracha?
Yeah, like why are...
Okay, two answers. One answer is you don't really know what tremendous Ruach HaKodesh and Kavanos. You know what Kavanos means? Intentions that were put into the brachas by the rabbis 2,000 years ago, that they had divine spirit, and they put in tremendous, tremendous intentions and explanations in every letter and every word. And you think you know what you're saying, and you really don't. So
I have no clue.
You have no clue.
Yeah,
it's even worse. It's even worse. So,
you know, I just want to say it, but to get permission to eat it.
Right? Okay, so the plain meaning is thank you that you gave me this, that you created the world. That's enough. Okay, now so therefore don't add to that itself. You want to add further, add. The other reason why you shouldn't is because one day you'll make your own nosachah and tomorrow you'll decide not to make a bracha at all.
Because I made an addition?
Yeah, because you're nice about it now, and tomorrow you'll change your mind and say I'm not moving. So don't play around.
Okay, that's
the correct. First Simon of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you should not